Well, Andy, I'm sure we're looking forward to hearing tonight is doing the Bible study on knowing what gifts the Lord gives to us. And then I'll take over to lead the time of prayer. So over to you, Andy.
So at the end of the last time I was taking the study, Keith asked a helpful question. How do I know what my gift is? And that's the question we're going to look to answer this evening. We all have gifts. They're to be used for the common good and to the glory of God. But how do I discern what my particular gift is in the life of the church, this local expression of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? We're going through Romans 12 as a basis, but I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this evening. I'll start at verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So that's emphasizing again what we've looked at in the past. Each one of us has a gift or gifts, and it's for the common good, for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So God is sovereign in this. The gift he has chosen to give to you, or the gifts, are by his sovereign will. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ, that is, the local church. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, is it therefore not a part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? We can tend to look at somebody else's gift and think it's superior and has a preeminence, and therefore, that's all that really matters, and I'm a nobody. That's not the case. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? One of the distinctions of cults is this uniformity. They all look and act and smile and do things just in the same way. But the true Church of Christ isn't like that. We are very diverse. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. It's an interesting verse, some interesting words there. Those members of the body that seem to be weaker. As we look at each other, do we distinguish? This person is more important than that person. That lady is less important than that lady. This we have a hierarchy. those members of the body that seem to be. The Greek word doko, seen, supposed, counted, looked upon as. That is maybe in the opinion of each other. We assess one more important than the other. Those that seem to be weaker are necessary. And the Greek word actually is better translated indispensable. That which you and I might think and assess as being, well, it's less important. Actually, in God's view, indispensable in the life of the body. That's so encouraging. What we see is not what the Lord sees. The Lord has given you and I gifts for a reason, to his glory and for the common good. And each one, every single believer here is indispensable in the sight of God. And those members of the body which we think are less honourable, on these we bestow greater honour. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honour to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, and that the members should have the same care one for another. Is that wonderful? Huh? God's view, no schism, no division. If in my body tonight, I mean, some people have maybe, sadly, a neurological disposition where they don't control a part of their body, and there are spasmodic movements, and it becomes obvious. But I hope in my body this evening there's a unity. As I speak, my hands are emphasizing certain things. I'm prone to wander around the pulpit a little bit, maybe in expression, and to help make a particular point. But there is a unity here and taking part. And so it should be with the local church. No schism, no oddity. And the same care for one another. No hierarchy. To see things as God sees it. That the toenail is important, and you miss it when it's not there. And the little toe and the little finger. Each part absolutely indispensable, the word the Spirit chose to inspire the apostle with. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honoured, all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps. I love that word. Administrations, various tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? These are rhetorical questions. The answer, no. But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet, I show you a more excellent way. So there's a reading for us. How do I know my gift? Let's remember, I want to move through this fairly rapidly. In view of the mercies of God, Romans chapter 12 starts, in view of all that he's done for us, then our logical response is to be a living sacrifice in his service. My life is all for him. Fill thou, O Lord, my God, in every part my life with praise. It's all for him. How do I honour him with my body? My reasonable, logical service is to use the gift he's given to me. Every believer has gifts, we've seen that. Every gift must be used. It's for the common good and to the glory of God. Now, my gift or gifts, how do I know what my gifts are? Just a few points to make. Romans 12 and verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, everyone who is among you should not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So, number one, assess yourself. It starts with you and me. We are to assess ourselves with sober judgment, sophroneo, clear thinking. Be in your right mind. Be honest about assessing yourself. Have an unclouded think about yourself. And here the injunction is not to think of yourself too highly, but also conversely, not to think of yourself, perhaps as we're apt to do, as too lowly. If God has given you a gift, glory to God. Find out what it is and use it, but assess yourself in a right-minded, in a sober way. So think, pray, consider, right-minded. It would be wrong for you to think, I don't have any gifts. That's clearly wrong. It would be wrong for you to think, well, if I'm a preacher, I have a higher ranking than anybody else. Certainly not. That would be wrong thinking. It would also be wrong to think you're a preacher when you're not. Again, you know, I've been to churches and bless their cotton socks. You know, a man will get into the pulpit and he will preach a sermon. And actually, he's not preaching. He can read the passage pretty well, and that blesses my soul. It does. So I'm not out to be critical of anybody who gets into a pulpit, but some have a gift, and others just muddle through. Maybe they'll paraphrase the passage and say it in a few different ways, and then announce the final hymn. I know of such a gentleman, and bless him, he's gifted in lots of areas, but he's not a preacher. And I think some folks have told him that, but still he battles on. And it's right to have this sober judgment and to have a right assessment. So you do have gifts, but have a think and ask God to help you. Be sober in your judgment. And then, next point I make is have a look at the lists. Now, there are three definite lists in the New Testament about different gifts that we can have. We've been through Romans 12 and verses 6 to 8 give a list of gifts. Having then gifts differing according to the grace is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. If ministry, let us use it. Teaching, I love these now, exhorting and giving and showing mercy. The three broad categories of gift that we might look at each of the lists and put them under. There are speaking gifts, teachers and pastors, and then there are leading gifts, governing, administration, wisdom. So you might have elders and pastors and deacons and youth leaders, Sunday school, kids clubs, mother and toddler leaders, men's groups, leaders, ladies' leaders. And then the biggest group, which I think we're all involved in, gifts of service. And they're listed as giving, acts of mercy, helps, hospitality, and these sorts of areas. And I think we could think about doing the flowers, baking cakes, using our homes, giving lifts, visiting, phoning somebody, emails, texts, giving a smiley welcome, greetings. The gift of hospitality is a wonderful, wonderful gift, and needs to be recognized. And we use it in our homes, but it needs to be used in the church. If you're a hospitable person, you'll have that welcoming disposition. And it's good to have those people up front on the door. All right, now we seem to think that maybe if you're a church officer, you should be on the door. There's some church officers with pretty grumpy faces. They can't help it. It's not their fault. It is their disposition. Not a grumpy disposition, but just that. And but others. I can think of a chap in St. Melan's. He's in glory now. Oh, what a wonderful welcomer. Oh, what a joyful man. And I'd come to chapel early, say 9:30, to get things ready. He'd be there already. He'd opened up the doors. As I came into the chapel, they'd be singing. He'd be singing a hymn. And to have him on the door, he'd see somebody in the distance, because it's a long drive up to St. Melan's church, and he'd go down the drive. Oh, are you new? Nice to see you. Come along, come in. Let me help you, my dear. Such a lovely, welcoming, hospitable person. So all these areas. So we've got the Romans 12 section we could look at. We have what I looked at here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And some interesting gifts are listed here. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, the gift of faith, gifts of healings, a working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And a little later on in chapter 12 here, offices, apostles, prophets, teachers, so back to gifts, teaching gifts, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. It's an interesting list. It can be quite a controversial list. And it's not our place tonight to go into the controversies. We have here in 1 Corinthians 12 what we would call, if you can call any spiritual gift ordinary, there are those that people say are ordinary spiritual gifts, and then there are also the extraordinary. And people differ over these gifts. Healings. Can people be healed today of diseases? The working of miracles. Tongues, interpretations of tongues. Now, no time. It's not the place to go into those particular things now. Chatting with, we have a curry, Wynne and I, once a month, and I always look forward to that. And we talk about all sorts of things, and I'm finding more and more how much we do have in common and what we agree on. But we were thinking about the gifts, and Wynne said, I'm not a cessationist. I said, I'm not either. I'm not a cessationist. And so we believe in the continuation of the gifts. Now, some of these which you might think are extraordinary are particularly seen in times of revival when the Spirit is poured out in profusion. If you go to parts of the world now where revivals are taking place, there are quite extraordinary things that happen. I would caution that these sorts of gifts, particularly tongues, can be counterfeited quite easily. I mean, I could go into some sort of gabbling now and say, oh, it was speaking in tongues, and would you know what it was or it wasn't? I think you would have maybe that gift of discernment. But I certainly don't think they have ceased, but I don't want to spend time on that here this evening. If you're thinking, what is your gift? You're probably not thinking, do I have the gift of tongues? But there are other things here which are really, really quite wonderful. And I just want to alight on this in verse 28 in particular. We have here a gift called the gift of helps. Well, just before I get on to that, if you want to know more about the extraordinary gifts, I would recommend, and maybe it's being discounted on Saturday, if it's still in print. Where's Robin? Joy Unspeakable by Marty and Lloyd-Jones. Can you still get hold of that? You can't. Well, I've got several copies at home. I'm buying up whatever I can. I often recommend it. If you want to read more on that, Joy Unspeakable by Martin Lloyd-Jones. But here in verse 28, we have the gift of helps, the gift of administrations. But I love this term, the gift of helps, antilepsis, the giving of aid, helping. It's a wonderful gift. You might be thinking, what is my gift? Now, we all ought to help, but some are just more gifted in this area and spot the need where there is a need. Here's a definition in a Bible dictionary about this particular word, antilepsis, helps. God's work bringing his helps of grace and power to meet someone's need through a person he directs. I think that's wonderful. And it is like the oil in the machine. It's so wonderful when a church has people who have this particular gift of helps. As I say, we all ought to be exercising help, but some have a particular gift of help. Let me give some examples now. We're going to have a Jubilee service, and Wynne said to me, well, I think you should preach. I'll lead the service, you preach. The ball's passed to me from the scrum, and I'm looking to run with the ball. Now, what do we need to do? Well, we're going to have a lunch afterwards. Oh, what are we going to do about that? Well, wonderfully, help starts to come, and we need to advertise it. We need some invitations, and they might well be here for us to use this coming Sunday, and we need a social media campaign, all these different outlets. I have been amazed at the amount of help that's come. Now, I haven't done anything, made the need known, and people have suddenly come together. And things are there. There are little teams I didn't know existed are coming out. And so one lady says, well, I'll do the catering and forms a team together. And then I'm hearing about what has been planned, and it's wonderful. And then the social media team come together. Well, I think we will do this. And then somebody else says, well, I can do an invitation leaflet. I haven't got a clue how to do it. People looking to help. Another example, the family coming from Ukraine. That was wonderful, wasn't it? To, the help that came. You know, these are gifts. These are gifts. And some of us are better at it than others. We all ought to be looking to help, but some just see the need. And I think it's linked to the gift of mercies and giving and helping, these wonderful gifts of service, and that things come together. But the gift of help is often linked with the needs of individuals as well. Some of you will be particularly gifted at spotting needs that may be, and it's not the fault, maybe you think, well, why am I the only one who sees this need? Because you have that particular gift. Now, don't criticize others. You know, they just don't have that gift. You know, I think men are pretty slow on the uptake. I'm using generalizations now. But women will spot a need, perhaps before her husband does, her wife says something. And they have this lovely gift, and it's linked with mercy and giving. Think of the coming alongside and helping. Think of that lovely parable that Jesus told of the man who was in need, and the good Samaritan comes along to help him. He goes to where others pass by, but he goes to that point of need. And he helps the man, and he shows mercy, and he gives of his money, and he gives of his time. So giving, if you've got the gift of giving, don't think it, well, it is, certainly it includes, if you are blessed with money, then you can help monetarily. Many of us aren't, and times are getting increasingly difficult, so we need to be on the lookout for those who are going to be suffering more in this economic downturn. And as a church, have our eyes out for young families or older, anybody who is struggling, and maybe not going to come up front and sit. I think you ought to, by the way. You know, if you are struggling, do let the elders know. Do let people know. Because we can help. But maybe to be helped, you know, there's a counterpart. You've got to be willing to be helped. You know, there's someone to help you. I mean, the guy who was in the gutter being beaten up, if the good Samaritan comes along and the guy in the gutter says, I don't want your help, go away. That's the end of the parable there, isn't it? Doesn't teach us a great deal. But, if you are in need, do make a need known. It's one thing to pray, but yeah, do pray, but also to make the need known. But as individuals, we become aware of needs and we look to help. To help. I know it's wrong to mention this. It was just a lovely example. Somebody was speaking in the members' meeting about their difficulties and thoughts and things going through their minds. And then he said, oh, and there's a chap who comes to help me, and once a week we go for a walk, and he's so helpful. I thought, that's lovely. That's it. Coming along. Now, I didn't know about that need. This other person did. Comes alongside and looks to help. So in thinking about what our gifts are, then look at these lists. The other one is Ephesians chapter 4, and they are mainly ministry gifts that come in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? Let me emphasize this. Verse 12 is really important. What is any gift for? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So whatever gift I have or you have, for the equipping of the saints, it's for the common good, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I blessed last night in the church council. What a lovely meeting we had those who were there. We started off with a substantial time of prayer. Then we got to what we call the business. But it was spiritual business. It was lovely, conducted in a lovely spirit together. But we had five new deacons there. Lovely to see them, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and keen and eager. If you're a deacon or an elder or a pastor, it's not for you to do all the work. If you're a deacon, you're looking, maybe you're given an area of responsibility. It's not for you to do all that work. You'll just get weary and worn down. But to look to include the church. And this happens, of course. We have a team and we work coordinating, encouraging, drawing a team together for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What's the aim in the use of gifts? Till we all, now all is lovely, nobody should be left out. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. Well, it's only going to happen in heaven. But we can't aim for it here. If we don't aim for it, we're never going to make progress. Never stop aiming high. The dart player always wants to hit that treble 20 unless he's wanting him to check out on double 16 and he's focused there. Or with me, I always end up on double one. And that's where you want to aim to finish. But there's an aim. And the aim of this local church is that we all should reach the stature of a perfect man and the fullness of Christ. So there's the aim. So have a look at the lists. And then, coming to a conclusion, think about this. Now, what am I good at? Assess yourself, look at the lists, think about what you're actually good at. Well, I'm good at knitting or crochet, and then there's a need to woolly hats for children in such and such, and then you can coordinate. Knit. Don't ask me, I'm no good at knitting woolly hats, but somebody baking, I can bake. Wonderful. Wonderful, what a lovely, lovely gift. One of the greater gifts, cake baking. You can cook a good Sunday lunch. How wonderful. I think I'm quite a dab hand at that. Jill is better. Some of you will be hopeless at that. But and to use these things, what do I enjoy doing? Ask other people what they think about your gifts. I think I might have this gift. What do you think? Ask the elders. I think the next point is to try. I think I might have a gift to work with children. Have a chat with one of the children's leaders or the Sunday school leader. Maybe the children's leaders. You want to just dip your toe in? Well, come along on a Friday night and see what's happening. Do you want to? Try. And then the leader might say, you might think, well, maybe I have a speaking gift. Can I try and give a talk on a Friday night to the children? Well, by all means, they'd be glad to hear you say that. Try. Who knows? Think of my conversion and that feeling of a call, really on the day of my conversion. I don't think I'll be in chemistry all my life, and a sense of call to speak. And then going back and getting involved in the Christian Union in Cardiff University. Within a couple of months, it was Christmas, and would you give your testimony, Andy? Yeah, okay. And to find that was helpful to some people, to be trying different things. And once you discover what your gift is, use it that the body might not be hampered. How do we know our gifts? Assess yourself, look at the lists, think about what I'm good at, what I enjoy doing, ask others what they think, ask the elders, try and do and use your gift. The end is that we're all here to be servants. The greatest example, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't come to be served. What an example. The Lord of glory didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He has a lovely modern hymn. Actually, it's not so modern now. It's over 40 years old. Speaking of the Lord, listen to these wonderful words. From heaven you came, helpless babe. The Lord of glory became a helpless babe. Entered our world, your glory veiled, pure scripture. Not to be served, but to serve. And give your life that we might live. There, in the garden of tears, my heavy Lord he chose to bear. His heart with sorrow was torn, yet not my will, but yours, he said. Come, see his hands and his feet, scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrendered. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. So let us learn how to serve and in our hearts enthrone him. Each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. Well, there's a little outline of gifts. If I'm going to continue this series, it's going to be the next session is, in what spirit do I use the gifts? And this is so important because in 1 Corinthians 12, we follow it straight away with 1 Corinthians 13, and Paul finishes chapter 12 with, and now I'll show you a more excellent way. Gifts can be counterfeited. Grace never can be. And the greatest way is love. Well, I'll conclude there, unless there are any questions. Do we sing a hymn now? I think I chose 775, didn't I? Which is quite a... Just the two verses, yeah. Gives more time for prayer, Wynne. 775, it's a lovely brief hymn of Wesley's. Jesus, I fain would find thy zeal for God in me. Stand and sing.